Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. First Corinthians 10. Israel is an example to the church. In 1 Corinthians 10, 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Israel is an example to the church. We are not to be idolaters, as they were not supposed to be in verse number 7. We are not to commit sexual sins, as some of them committed in verse number 8. Neither are we to tempt the Lord as they did in verse 9, nor murmur and complain against God and His will as some of them did in verse 10. These are our example, and they're recorded for our admonition. Twice in this passage of Scripture, we are reminded that Israel is our example as a church. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." God warned His people of the past, Israel, and His people of the present, the church. He warned them not to commit the same errors that Israel had committed. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 1, I want to read a long passage. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of depths, of spring out of valleys and hills, land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Psalm 33, if you turn there with me. Psalm 33, and I'll begin reading with verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 33, verse 9. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king save by multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Tomorrow we celebrate the 4th of July, chosen for the signing of the Declaration of Independence. When America was born, a free and independent nation separating itself from England, England and her king had seen America as a tool for wealth. They instituted taxation without representation, something like we have today. We have elected officials. They don't do anything we tell them to do. They don't listen to the people. They do what benefits them. That's taxation without representation. They sent the military here to occupy the cities in the United States in this new nation that was being formed, the colonies at that time. And British troops came and posted themselves in all of the places of purchasing and commerce, and enforced the king's will. They sought to stamp out the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. And you better pay attention, my friends, because that's happening right now in the United States of America. Attorney General Lynch wants to prosecute anybody who speaks against Islam. And she has stated that she's looking into a way to enforce laws against people for the freedom of speech. They take away your Second Amendment right to own a weapon, and then they'll take away your First Amendment right to speak against them. In 1776, 56 men got tired of this, and they signed the Declaration of Independence and pledged their honor, their lives, and their property to declare separation from England. Let us pray. Father, as we look at this next video, remind us of this day. Help it not to be a day of fireworks and a day of cookouts, but a day where we pray and seek the face of God to turn this nation back to you. Help us to be a nation of the Bible. Help us to worship the true God and not false gods and idols. Help us to obey your commands, that we might please you, to have your promise of protection and provision and your blessings. And now we ask you blessings on this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, today I've preached in the past from Deuteronomy chapter 8, warning lest we forget God and say America has a fatal lapse of memory. I preached a message from Deuteronomy 8 that said America has a fatal lapse of memory. But I come to you today saying I firmly believe it is not a lapse of memory by our current president and his administration and the Republican and Democratic Congress and the Senate today, but a willful rejection of God, the Bible, and Christianity that is at hand today. They seek to make Islam equal to Christianity. We don't serve the same God, my friends. They seek to make homosexual marriage equal to a Christian marriage. You can't possibly do that. Allah has no son. Allah is not a God of love. Allah is not a God of sacrifice for sinners. And Allah provides no redemption for man. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Him alone, regardless of your race, color, creed, or ethnicity. Salvation is through Christ. He is the only means of salvation. They haven't forgotten this. They have chosen to pass laws and reject these teachings from the Bible. Like Israel, America stands with a great enemy to our love for God and our dependence on God, and that is prosperity and materialism. They became a problem for Israel that they forgot God, they forgot who brought them where they were. They forgot to be dependent upon the Lord because they were prosperous and had all the material things that they wanted. God gave Israel the land of Canaan. And from the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates, like Israel, God has brought us to a land of plenty in the United States of America. We celebrate Thanksgiving every year, remembering those early settlers finding this land of plenty and blessing. They had many hardships in coming here without anything that was needed to build homes and to survive the winter and to forage food and all the things that they needed. And they celebrated Thanksgiving by praising God who preserved them and provided for them and protected them. Deuteronomy warns us to beware lest we forget God. And today many have forgotten the past, or they don't want to learn the past that is real and true, that is settled, and they have a danger of their testimony today being 8:17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Secondly, they have willfully rejected in Deuteronomy 8, and verse 18 through 20. Let me get back there. Deuteronomy 8, 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. We have leaders who've been elected today by a majority of people. And I'm afraid quite often that majority is after not exalting God, not turning the nation to God, not electing somebody who will uphold biblical principles, but they elect someone that will give them what they want. And therefore, they would reject God and have the nation serve other gods. They reject biblical Christianity. They think because God has not swiftly brought judgment upon them, they're somehow not subject to His warnings. But check out the past. God said, the nations I've destroyed before you. God brought Egypt to a humble place to let Israel go. The death of the firstborn of their children. The death of their cattle and their material wealth. Assyria became a great nation and then a wicked nation, and God destroyed them. Babylon became a great empire and God destroyed them. The Persians and the Medes became a great empire. For a period of time, they acknowledged God. Cyrus, the king of Persia, imagine that, Iran today, allowed the Jews to go back and build the temple of God and acknowledge that this is the God of heaven hath given him charge to let his people go and build the temple of God. But they changed, and God brought destruction. Rome ruled, and Rome burned, because Rome began to institute emperor worship rather than acknowledging God and the freedom of worship. They all corrupted themselves and fell from the height of their glory to the depth of destruction. In this country, our laws were founded just and right based upon the Bible. As our video reminded us, the place where the lawgivers go is filled with statues of Moses and the Bible and the commandments of God. They were based upon God's absolute. But today, crime and violence and immorality and perversion is not based upon the laws of God, but based upon the will of men, the desires they have to put forth to the people of America, rejecting the very laws of God. Thirdly, we still have a multitude of godly people in this nation who have built the churches and cities and colleges and universities and hospitals, Christian radio throughout the land, television, the printed Bibles and literature. We have freedom, but that freedom is rapidly changing. We send missionaries around the world, but how long will we be able to send forth the missions? We willfully fund taxes for schools and roads so that we might have free education in the United States. And we provide buses so that kids can get to school who live out in the rural areas. And we build roads and bridges so they can get there. We still pledge one nation under God, indivisible. We pledge it here in this place. And you pledge it in many places where you go, and the flag flies in many places where you attend. We still have on our money, in God we trust. But it is not the rights of the people that make us a spiritual people. It is the people who surrender their will to God to do what God commands. Separate from sin and separate unto the Lord in our worship. The early church had few, if any, of the rights and privileges that we have today. The early church was of the Jews, and it was under Roman rule and then spread to the Gentile nations of people throughout the world. When nations become prosperous and have all the material things that they want, there's a great danger that we forget who gave us the ability to make wealth, and we forget who gave us redemption and protection and blessings. We must learn accurate history. We must teach it to our children. We must remember it with celebrations. Tomorrow, when you celebrate around a cookout or fireworks, remember God is the one that you're giving praise and honor and glory to, has given you everything you have. And let us be a thankful people. Let us preserve the truth that is handed down to us, and let us hand it down to our children and our children's children. We are to teach it to them. The psalmist said in Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." We're fighting a futile battle if we try to do things without God and without God's help. We need to be a righteous people. Israel was always a religious people, but at times they failed to be a righteous people. And God would pronounce chastening and judgment upon them to draw them back to Him. He said, "Like a father chastening his son, so I have chastened Israel, my son, to bring them back to me." In Acts 10, I won't go there for the time, Peter's sermon to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, he said, "It is Christ who is the righteous judge. It's not the political administration we serve under today. Not Republican, not Democrat, not the House, not the Senate, not the President. But Jesus Christ is the righteous judge that are going to give account. Men will stand before Him and give account of themselves. The political world today has forgotten the basis of judgment. In Romans 2:2, but we are sure the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. You change what you call sin. You can pass laws to make the military allow it to take place. They're going to now allow transvestites in the military and protect them. And from what I heard on the radio, it sounds like the military is going to pay for their operations. So the men can become women and women can become men. Where in the world has common sense gone? According to truth. It's going to be according to the Bible, not according to Democrats or Republicans. Verse 6 of Romans 2, it says it'll be according to every man's deeds. Every man will give an account of his life to God and how he has lived. Verse 11, it'll be without respect of person. Both the high and mighty and the poor and humble will all stand equal before God in judgment. Verse 13, it's not the hearing of the law that makes one just, but the doing of the law. And then in verse 16, Paul said, it will be according to my gospel. The gospel message will be the basis of judgment for men, whether they're saved or lost. If you believe the gospel and trusted Christ today, then your sins have been forgiven and you've been saved and you have a relationship with God as His child. And that is a basis of judgment for you that has passed and is finished. Christ nailed it to the cross and provides redemption for those who believe. But those who do not believe, the basis of judgment will be the gospel.